Welcome back to Vertical Families. I'm Debbie Haddix, here with one of my favorite sons-in-law, R.T. Stringer.
I've met your other son-in-law. I should be the favorite, definitely.
But I can't.
Oh, okay. Just between us right here?
I can't okay. do that. It won't stay between us.
Okay. So today's when doing a podcast with your mother-in-law gets interesting.
Why is that?
Well, because you picked the topic today. Or maybe you didn't. Or did I pick it?
Well, you know, I think we made a list.
We did.
We just started dumping ideas into a file, so I'm not sure whose idea belongs to who.
Well, the topic is married to a sinner, and here's the problem, is I'm married to your daughter.
Well, I get that.
I got to be real careful today. So
we'll tread on very careful ground
here. Well, last week I said we were going to be transparent, but maybe not too transparent today. Because
I think we can guard our transparency where it's needed.
Yeah, because we don't want Thanksgiving dinners to be too awkward.
Yes, and I'm not going to ask for examples or specifics here, but I'm going to imagine that it was for you and Karen like it was for Don and I. That you're dating, you're putting your best foot forward, mm-hmm. you're seeing only the best in one another. And then soon, quite soon after that wedding, things change a little bit.
They do. You know, when you're falling in love or whatever you want to call it, like it's like the person can do no wrong. You're like they're
perfect.
You
just don't see it.
Or you don't see it, right?
I mean, we even tell the grandkids, right? Your daughters and like have your eyes open. Like it's not going to be this way. They're putting their best foot forward.
Yeah. I try to tell my daughters, like, every guy's a deadbeat, right?
There you go.
Stay away from all of them. They're all no good. And then they're like, no, that guy's perfect. Like, no.
No, he's not perfect.
So it may not be as bad as what I'm saying, but yeah, so you think things are great. And then all of a sudden you get married.
And no matter how great you think that other person is and how wonderful marriage is going to be, it's not long after that wedding, it gets really comfortable and you settle mm-hmm. in and you stop putting that best foot forward in little habits that other person has that you were not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not even sinful habits, just annoying habits.
Yeah, it's true, which can cause you to sin.
Yeah, I hadn't stopped it, but you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Your spouse's annoying habits can cause, or at least in my case.
Your response, yes, yeah.
And then I blame them. Like, if you didn't do this, I wouldn't have to sin. But
yeah, whether it's, you know, not putting the laundry away mm-hmm. or chewing too loudly or whatever.
Right. not trying. For me, it started early on with knowing, like, all of a sudden I'm married and things are going to look different. So we got married, and then that same day we drove to the Hotel 6, because we're big spenders.
Well, yeah, right? when we're young.
And I'm not a detail person on some things, especially back then. And so I hadn't seen that our bank card expired on May 31st.
Ooh, you got married on June 1st.
We got married on June 1st. Mm. So we go to the Motel 6 a few hours after getting married, and my card gets declined. It's like, well, try it again, because I know it's okay. Karen's standing there. I'm like, and I know she's thinking, like, what in the world did I just do? I just married this guy, and things seem great. And we show up to the hotel.
And we can't even get a room.
We can't even get a room. So they just keep running it, and we couldn't figure out why. And then finally, the lady looks at us and goes, your card expired yesterday. It's like, oh, man. So it actually ended up being a good thing for us, because in order for us to be able to have our honeymoon in Gatlinburg, we couldn't use our card, which is we had planned on using that card to spend so much money in Gatlinburg, but we didn't have it. And it's a different day. I mean, that's before like Apple Pay on your phone.
Oh, yeah, none of that stuff.
You had that one card and that's all you had. So we went and got the cards that everyone had given us for our wedding. And so we got all the cash out of it. We had about $500. So that's what we spent in Gatlinburg, came back. So we were debt free.
So it was a blessing.
So it was a blessing. But I think we learned some things about each other early on, right? So
it doesn't take long.
No.
At all. Yeah.
No. And the truth is we're all sinners, right? So
all of us, but we forget.
We do.
We look at our spouse and we see those faults and they just kind of jump out glaringly at us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we can think about that one thing all day long and let it blow up. But we don't turn our sight inward mm-hmm. and see our own faults.
Well, it's easier to see my spouse's faults
than
mine,
course.
Right?
He wants to look at their own faults.
and even, we kind of talked about this earlier, it's easier for me to blame the things I'm doing on her faults. You know, I wouldn't react this way if you did this right.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
I think even when couples kind of get to the point where they're ready to talk out whatever that difficulty is, it's easy to blame. I did this because you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Not, to take responsibility for our own actions. I like the way you said that in the beginning.
Yeah.
Their habit, the thing that's driving us crazy, may not be sinful, but we can react in sinful ways to it.
Yeah. And some of it's just the expectations of how maybe you grew up, or maybe you've been single for a long time before you get married. You may come from different backgrounds. You may come from a background where you guys always do the dishes, right? I mean, dishes never set into the sink.
Right. And
your spouse may grow up that, listen, if you need a dish, you just get that dirty dish out of spouse, out of the sink. You wash it. And that's how you eat your oatmeal in the morning, right?
And so, yeah, I think so many of us go into marriage not even thinking about those expectations mm-hmm. or the things we grew up with. A friend shared with me a few years ago, her daughter and son-in-law, like it almost came to blows. And it was over laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Because the daughter had grown up with the laundry being done a certain way.
Yeah.
And she expected that her husband knew that he'd mm-hmm. grown up the same way. And he'd grown up with a totally different laundry procedure.
Yeah.
And they almost came to some serious problems over the folding and putting away of laundry.
Yeah. That's funny. I talked to a guy a couple weeks ago that hasn't been married long, and him and his spouse got into it over folding towels, is what he was saying. So it's like, you know, but if you grow up for 20 years and you always fold it and put it away this way versus you always do it exactly this way, your way's right, right? I mean, like, that's the correct way to do it.
And you don't even think that there's another way. Like, who ever thought there was another way to fold a towel? Doesn't everybody fold their towels this way?
Yeah, then all of a sudden folding towels get you sleeping on the couch, right? Yeah, so there's a better way forward, which is what we see in the gospel, is having a grace-filled marriage, right? Is it?
Yeah, don't we all love that word?
We do.
We want grace poured out upon us, but maybe not so much for the other person.
Mm-hmm.
But what a difference it'd make in our marriages if we all adopted that.
Yeah, but because we're going to fail, right? We're
absolutely
always going
to
fail.
While we live here, failure's going to be a part of it.
We're going to fail. And the other thing is we're going to put unfair expectations on our spouse too, I think, at times.
I think we all do, yeah.
And part of that is we see things when on TV, in the media, we read a book, and we think, this is what being married's like. Everything is great. Or maybe you have friends that are married and you only see the best side of their marriage. And that's what you expect in your marriage.
Yeah. And I think we get so easily caught up in it, whether it's, I think you've mentioned in one of the other episodes, social media.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing everybody's perfect marriage and perfect spouse and comparing our spouse and our marriage. Or even the books we read and the movies we watch.
Yeah.
Like, it's Prince Charming and he can do no wrong. And we have to stop and remember we live in a fallen world. It's not reality.
Yeah. No, it's not. And you mentioned social media, I think, is the biggest one of that when we talk to marriages, is because, listen, I'm not putting on social media. If I slept on the couch last night, I'm not waking up the next morning saying,
who's putting the ugly stuff on there?
Slept on the couch last night, but I may put, had a great date night with my spouse last night.
Right.
So now other people looks like, hey, RT's always having these great date nights. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we set expectations, I think, without even realizing mm-hmm. it.
We do. I always joke about the pictures on social media. Is that, you know, I do this, right? If I'm going to take a picture of my house, I'm going to make sure I take it, have the kids stand where it's nice and clean.
Exactly. The rest of the house can be a mess.
Right.
But that picture.
That picture. We don't want any clutter behind it. I'll filter that out or do whatever I need to do, right? And so then when everybody else sees it, like, man, they have a perfect house. They have little kids at the house. Like,
how do they keep that house so clean with all those little kids?
Then all of a sudden this guy's over here, like, taking that picture of his wife and saying, hey, look at how clean so-and-so's house is. Why can't you keep our house like this, right? And the expectations, and then she gets mad at him, and there it goes. So, yeah, so grace, right? So you mentioned we like talking about it, but...
Yeah, but we're not so good. I think we're good at talking about it. I don't think we're so good at living it.
Yeah. How would you define grace?
Well, you grow up with that standard definition, unmerited favor.
Yeah.
But in practical terms, if I'm looking at my spouse who might be doing... Not that Don ever does anything to annoy me, but... If he were to ever, just not being so hard and critical on him and understanding that we all fail.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't surprise us that we should just be expecting it and ready for it. Like, oh, here it is. And giving to him what I would hope he'd give to me. Like, overlooking it, understanding it's just part of who we are. And if it's something we need to talk about, then sitting down and talking about it.
Yeah, I was thinking, last week I preached a sermon out of Matthew chapter 18, and towards the end of that chapter there's a story about an unforgiving servant. So basically this guy goes to a king, and the king forgives him of a lot of money, so almost a lifetime worth of money, and the king forgives him. And so this guy then has someone who owes him about a day's wage, and he goes to this guy and's like, hey, give me my money. And the guy can't give him his money, and so this guy throws that guy in jail and treats him poorly mm-hmm. after getting a lot of grace shown to him by this king. And so I love that story. And so last week in preaching, like, you can tell when you're preaching when you hit a nerve or like things get quiet. So I didn't have this in my notes. I just said it. And so I was like, hey, this is how a lot of you are in your marriages, is that you look back at your life, all the sin you've done, everything you've done wrong. God looks at you as his child and says, it's all forgiven. I'm forgiving you of all of that. Mm-hmm. And then you look at your spouse who annoyed you today and you give them the cold shoulder because they annoyed you.
Right.
I was like, so when we hear the story of this guy, or this, he's given forgiven everything from his life and he's forgiven. And then we look, how is he going to go grab this guy? Because the scripture actually says he grabs him by the throat or the neck and shakes him and won't forgive him of a little bit. I said, that's exactly what you're doing to your spouse when you're harsh to them because they did something small instead of just living grace-filled. And I'm speaking to myself because I'm guilty of that.
That's what I'm thinking as you're saying that. I love that example, connecting that with that scriptural account that we have. And I'm thinking of that, you know, God lavishes his love and his grace and mercy on me. Mm-hmm. And my spouse does some little something to annoy me, and it's the cold shoulder or the harsh words or something very loudly.
Right. And it's on. Yeah. That's, you know, you kind of mentioned it's, we like talking about grace and we like hearing about it. But when it comes time to show it on that Tuesday evening when dinner's a little late or the kids get on your nerves, all of a sudden you're not quick to show it. So, yeah. So it's kind of that talking versus doing, right? Isn't that what we're kind of talking about?
Yeah, it's easy for us to have head knowledge and know what to do. It's a lot harder to act on it and allow it to grow us in Christ as we put things into action and actually carry them out.
Yeah. Well, I think the natural thing is not to show grace. I think the natural thing is to get even, to make them suffer, to show judgment.
Yeah, I think as long as we live in this fallen world in... we're flawed and human, and sin is here. That's our default.
Yeah.
So we have to be intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's hard. Like,
It's hard to put forth energy and forethought.
And sometimes it's just like something inside you, like, no, I want to stay mad at you.
Right? I know. There's just something about holding a grudge.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I mean, I think a lot of couples are guilty of this. Like, maybe they show up to church or they show up at a friend's house. So they've been fighting. They show up. And they put on their fake face, and everything's good. But as soon as you get back
until
in the car.
Until they get back in the car.
Exactly. We're not speaking again. But that's where I think the gospel just transforms marriages, that we're married to a sinner, yes, but marriage is a picture of the gospel. I mean, that is that is the purpose of marriage, is to display God's glory. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the case, we fail, God still loves us. We fail, God still loves us. He continues to show us grace and love. But what I love is he doesn't give up on his church or the bride or on us. He continues to show us grace. So I think we can learn so much in our marriages from
absolutely
this, applying the gospel to it. So, which I know you wrote down some practical ideas for how we can do or show grace.
Well, that's kind of my thing is as I read the Bible, as I learn about my relationship with God and who he is in trying to make it practical for myself and for other people, because it's one thing to know those words, to know grace. It's another to live it. So one of the things that I've started doing and been doing this for a few years, whether it's in my marriage or other things that happen, but I've learned to catch myself when I understand that I'm upset over that thing and I'm replaying why I'm upset or how horrible my husband is for having this terrible habit, is to just do an intentional stop.
Okay.
And quit listening to myself whine over whatever it is and start speaking the truth of God's word into my own life and mind.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard it the way, like, preach the gospel to yourself every day.
That's been a biggie the last couple years.
I think it's important because, one, it shows you if you're speaking truth to yourself, preaching the gospel to yourself, it reminds you of how broken you are.
Right.
But it doesn't let you stay there.
Right.
Right. It says, yes, I really messed up yesterday and I may have went off on my spouse, but God forgives me of that. And so today's a new day. His mercies are new every morning.
That's one of the most freeing things I have heard in the last few years, is that it's okay to be in a bad place. Mm-hmm. God gave us emotions for a purpose, and it's okay to be there. It's not okay to stay there.
Yeah.
And so I do like that the preaching to yourself does not allow you to stay where you are.
Yeah. And the other thing that does, I think if you start there practically, like preaching the gospel to yourself, it reminds you of the grace you have received.
Right.
So before I start my day, if I've sat down and I've prayed and meditated on God loves me, I'm a sinner, but God loves me, then when I go out that day and I have an annoying coworker or it's my spouse that gets on my nerves, I'd be like, God mm-hmm. loves me.
Right.
He forgave me of a whole lot more than what this person just exactly. said to me. And yeah. so as a Christian, it's my obligation, right? This right. isn't something I get an option on. I'm obligated right. to forgive them.
Right.
And that's even like one. We talked about Matthew 18, there's some strong words there where if you don't forgive others, you know, is God going to forgive you?
Right.
So, I mean, there's it's pretty strong. Okay, so speak truth to yourself.
Another one, it's easy for us to keep a count. Mm-hmm. To create this list of our spouse's failures. They do one annoying little thing. They don't fold the towels right. And all of a sudden, this whole list of other things just starts mounting up of he or she didn't do this. They don't do this. They don't do this. And so, you know, just one practical thing is instead of keeping an account of their shortfallings and their failures, start to keep a gratitude list. What are you grateful to your spouse for? What are those positives? And start making that I'm grateful for my spouse because list kind of thing and put a whole different spin on how you're looking at them.
Yeah, I would. I'm trying to be careful because I know we're getting ready to go home and going to see Karen, so I don't want you like to share anything.
I won't share a thing, although she can listen she to the podcast.
I would probably need to write that list down. I don't know if that's what you're saying, but like I can keep a list of wrong in my head really easy. But a lot of times I forget the positive things about people. So if my spouse, I'd probably need to like write down
I would recommend writing it down. I think there's so much power in, I mean, there's all kinds of scientific evidence for what writing does, but it initiates parts of the brain you don't usually use. And so to write, it might just be keep a little spiral notebook or journal by the bed or wherever you frequent if you've got an office or something. And just maybe list three things a day even. Maybe you set a goal.
And you may not know this, but on phones now, they have journals or notes.
They do. Use it.
So you no longer have to write everything down on a notebook with a pen.
But writing with a pen is more beneficial to the brain than typing it in with your fingers.
You think?
It is.
Is it?
I can pull up the research
can
for you.
I don't disagree with you. I keep a lot of notes on my phone. So I even keep something like this on my phone. But
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like any way you keep that list is good. I know people that love art that like draw pictures of it or just however is most meaningful and accessible to you, I think, is the way to do it because you want to see that list.
Yeah. And the benefit of that list is when you do get frustrated, maybe you can go look at the list. Or for me or for the guys, like if there's a time that you want to send your wife a text or something, you can go to your list and be very specific.
There you go.
I am really thankful for this about you. Because I've learned that wives, and I think guys probably would too, it's one thing to say, I'm thankful for you, I love you, but if I can give an example of, you did this last week and I'm really thankful for that.
Or specifics are so much more meaningful, I think, to both, male or female, than just anybody can say, I love you or I'm thankful. But if you can put something behind it, and here's, this one just came to me, a real life one. You know, for 3 or 4 years, Don traveled a lot with his job. Mm-hmm. He was gone more than he was home for a couple of years. And it became kind of easy to get used to him not being home.
Yeah.
And then he'd come home and those annoying little habits would really stand out because I didn't have them for 2 weeks in a row or something. And so that was this whole idea of writing things down. I bought a journal and just every day for a year wrote down at least one specific thing that I was grateful for to remind me. So I wasn't so critical when he came home and the dishes were still in the sink or whatever it was, but then gifted it to him for Christmas.
Okay.
So that he had those specifics. Yeah. So it helped me, but I was hoping it also would bless him and kind of help us through that time that we weren't so used to navigating.
Yeah, definitely. And if you got that list, when Valentine's Day rolls around, you're trying to think of something to write on that card, you just pull out your list and you can start writing stuff
down. Great idea.
Right? All right. What's the next practical
advice? The next one you've already kind of mentioned when we've talked about all the grace and forgiveness and mercy God pours out to us, but we don't necessarily show it to our spouses, is to sit down and we've talked about making a list of our spouse's good points and positives, is to make a list of our own faults and shortcomings.
Yeah.
We talked about how hard it is to look inside and see our own.
Would that be a long or short list for me?
I'm not going there. But make that list and then, you know, consider how God has forgiven us. Just do that intentional self-reflection and
yeah, I think that list is important to write it down, but then also not to dwell on it or stew on it, right? I mean, like,
write it down, think about the forgiveness he's given us, and then, you know, go to prayer and give it back to him.
Yeah.
Don't Otherwise, we're putting it in our heads and it's just staying there.
Yeah. Or I think if you have that list, to be intentional on things you want to change on that list and work towards it. And,
right.
And knowing you can't accomplish them all at one time. But
no, take one at a time.
Yeah.
Another one is just, again, we talked about intentionality, just asking ourselves, how can we infuse that grace? We talked about it's easy to talk about, it's harder to do. How can we do it? How can we put that grace into practice in our marriage? Mm-hmm. And for some of that, that might just be learning to hold our tongue. Like, don't lash out with those harsh words at the first annoyance.
That's a tough one, right?
I know.
Because the natural thing is to lash right back.
Exactly. I'm going to get even.
Yeah. That proverb that talks about that, you know, it's better to be a fool and not say anything at all. Mm-hmm. No one think you are, instead of like opening your mouth, letting everybody know, not being foolish. Yeah. And, you know, we mentioned this before, but it's those words that you speak. If you do it in anger, you've moved on.
Right. But they haven't.
Your spouse hasn't. Mm-mm. And the other thing on that is if others hear it, if your kids hear it, others around hear it, they don't forget how you reacted or treated your spouse. So I think that's important.
Yeah, that stays with them.
Yeah. Yeah. So instead of doing that, maybe giving some encouraging words.
Right. I mean, this is not one where you can just come up and go, I'm going to start infusing grace today this way. You're going to have to think about what are your normal reactions, what speaks love to your spouse, and find some ways to change your reactions and how you respond.
Yeah, and showing your spouse grace, I think it's important for us to realize your spouse is a sinner, which is how we started this. But I'm responsible for the holiness of my wife. So yes, she's a sinner, but as her husband, I'm responsible for her becoming more like Jesus. So if she has a sin that she struggles with, instead of me yelling at her or getting angry about that, my job is to help her grow and become more like Jesus in that. And vice versa. Mm-hmm. She has that responsibility to help me. So I mean, we've lived together 20 years. She knows what I struggle with.
Right.
I know what she struggles with. And so I can either let that annoy me and cause me to sin, or I can look at how can I help her be more like Jesus.
Right. So. And I think that's so important. If a couple gets that, their obligation to help their spouse grow in holiness. And that kind of leads, this is one I heard at a marriage seminar that I believe it was Gary Smalley presented at our church a few years ago. And he presented an idea I'd never thought about. He says, we're all children of God. We know this. We toss this around all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. My spouse is a child of God. And he said, if that's true, then that on one hand makes God your father-in-law if you are married, because he is your spouse's father. And if you stop and think about him as your father-in-law, you know, there are certain things you would not do in the presence of your earthly father-in-law.
Sure.
Or you wouldn't treat your spouse this way if the father-in-law were around. He says, we stop and think about that. That changes a lot, too. And that kind of goes with that whole, we're responsible to help each other grow in holiness.
I've never heard it put that way.
It impacted both Don and I tremendously to hear that. And we'd been married nearly 40 years when we heard it.
So when you're riding in the car late at night, just the two of you, you're upset about something. God is your father-in-law.
Yeah, so God's my father-in-law, and he hears and sees how I'm treating his daughter.
Yeah.
Is this what he would approve of?
Yeah.
Yeah, it can do some things to your thoughts.
It can. Yeah, for me, it's always been a big one, too, because I have daughters, but it'd be the same for a mom that has sons as well. It's like how I treat Karen is, they see that as normal. Like, this is what you look for
and
in a
spouse.
And
that's what you want
this
them looking for.
This is the expectation. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's always eye-opening to know that how I treat their mom is the expectation, at least, I'm giving them. This is how a spouse is to treat a wife.
And we open the episode with that whole expectation thing. Mm-hmm. We all have them. You're helping set those expectations for your daughters.
Yeah, this has been good. I know we'll talk about marriage more, but the big thing for me on this is that I've taken away is that I'm going to need grace again.
Right.
And so who am I not to show it? Especially given all the grace God has shown me.
Right.
So. All right. Thanks for joining us for Vertical Families. And make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and share it with others if you enjoy the content.